it's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends, this is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, dear friends, it's great to be with you again. We're going to continue our series, Come Now, Behemoth and Leviathan. I'll tell you, this is an exciting group of verses from the book of Job. And, you know, it's so rarely preached, but those are the kind that I like to preach. I don't know why, but God loves to give me the verses that no one else is preaching. And he says, Brother Tex, look into this. And I'm just intrigued about what some people believe are very obscure verses, but how very vital they are, how essential and important. Behemoth, the great beast, wow. He's able with his snout to suck up all the water out of a boy. And then there's Leviathan, the piercing serpent, it says in the book of Isaiah. Here in Job, he is the serpent, Leviathan. But you know, God has designed the whole universe in such a way that at a certain time in history, Behemoth and Leviathan will come forth. Oh, I'm not talking about the beast from a zoo or from a circus, or you can't go into Africa and see these kinds of beasts. We're not talking about the rhinoceros or the elephant or some, you know, strange and wonderful creature. These are symbols that God has given us, prophetic things for the last days. And we are to consider Behemoth and Leviathan, because the world will be ruled by these two great beasts. But what are they? Who are they? How will all this occur? I'm telling you, friends, your Bible has the answers. And it's important. You say, well, I'm not worried about Behemoth and Leviathan. That sounds like science fiction to me. Well, to you, perhaps. That might just be because you have no understanding of the last days. And you're the very one that needs to listen to this program today and over the next several days. A continuing series, Come Now, Behemoth and Leviathan. Now, some of you have prayer needs and you'd like to write to us. I hope you do. I pray you will. We enjoy praying for the saints. It's a strange thing, but, you know, when I pray for you, I get the blessing. Isn't that something? You say, well, what are you talking about, Tex? I have the needs, and I'm telling you my needs. Well, that's true. But you see, I believe that the more I commune with God, the greater blessings I have. I've often mentioned on this program that wonderful verse in the Old Testament that says that God inhabits the prayers of the saints. Pray to God, and he will come to live with you. Isn't that an amazing thing? He'll make his habitation. He says that he stands at the door and knocks. All you have to do is open it up. I believe prayer opens doors. And then Jesus says in the book of Revelation, he's the one that opens the doors and no man can shut it. And he shuts the door and no man can open it. There's some people that think they have your destiny in their hand. Could be your boss. Could be a neighbor, could be the President of the United States. He may think that your destiny is in his hands, but it's not. Did you know that the President has nothing at all to do with you if you trust and believe in God? Nothing. He cannot help you. He cannot hurt you. He cannot promote you. He cannot demote you. Because everything that is going to happen to you is going to happen. Now, how do you like that? Isn't that an amazing story? Whatever is going to happen to you is going to happen. Now, that may sound a little fatalistic, but listen. Remember, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. I don't know what your present circumstances are, but I do know this much. They're going to work together for good if you love the Lord. Pray to the Lord, and we want to pray for you. And He will work everything out in His good time, not your time. Don't get ahead of yourself. And by the way, as you go along in life's avenues and going down the pathways that God sends you, please don't even think about blaming God for the bad things that happen. You know, a Jewish rabbi wrote a book some years ago. I think it was entitled, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Rabbi Kushner was his name. And he said that he forgives God for bad things coming in his life. He forgives God. Because after all, he says, God is not omnipotent. God does not have all the powers of the universe. He doesn't have all the knowledge. He cannot prevent bad things from happening. But He does care for us. He loves us. And so we cannot blame God when things happen. They just happen. He doesn't have the power to prevent it. It sounded like such a loving book. Just go ahead and love everybody and love God no matter what happens to you. You can't blame God. He's not able to stop it or solve your problems or keep the bad things from happening. And you know, that became a number one New York Times bestseller. Some people said, I feel better knowing that it's not God's fault. He can't help it either. They said they felt better knowing that God was weak and couldn't help them. Well, you see, friends, isn't that the way the devil works? Anything to blaspheme God. Blasphemy, that's what that was by that rabbi. He didn't know Jesus at all. Of course he didn't. He was a Jewish rabbi. But more than that, he didn't know God for sure. If he did, he'd believe in the God of the Old Testament. The God who created this earth from nothing. He has all the powers of the universe. He is unlimited in His omnipotence and His omniscience, meaning He's everywhere and He knows everything. You know, I don't know what I would do if I believed in that nonsense. I think I may want to just go ahead and kill myself. After all, to worship a God that's that weak and pitiful. I want to tell you something, friends. You can believe God can do anything, can change anyone or anything. If He couldn't, I wouldn't worry about praying to Him. If He was a pitiful, weak God. Now, I want to tell you something, friends. If bad things happen to you, you don't worry about it. You just keep looking up. Just keep looking up. I know some things that bad things that have happened. On purpose. God calls them on purpose. I believe there's some saints that have been thrown into prison cells. On purpose. You say, well, what in heaven's name would God do that for? You know, there might be somebody there that He wants you to meet. There might be somebody there praying in that prison cell for God to send them a message of hope, of salvation. There's some people who say, Lord, what can I do? Send somebody to tell me about Jesus. Send somebody to tell me what the truth is. Send somebody to tell me how to read the Bible. You may be that person. You may say, well, I've been wrong. I've been framed. I've been set up by the DA or the judge. I've been set up and I'm sent to prison for something I didn't do. Now, of course, you should fight all those evil, false charges. But if you end up in prison anyway, what are you going to do? God, my friend, knows how to take a lemon and make lemonade. He's done it in many lives, has He not? And you can be that glass of lemonade that is someone else's refreshment. You think about that, won't you? Now, if the Lord leads you to help us with love gifts and financial contributions, please do that. If you're not led of the Lord to do it, then don't worry about it at all. We'll still pray for you. We don't open up an envelope and say, hey, here's a contribution, let's pray for this man. Here's a person who didn't. Send us a contribution, let's not pray for them. That's not the way we work here. No, we don't do that at all. So you don't worry about that. But, of course, we do need your help, and we appreciate your help. Okay, now we've got some beautiful music. Is that wedding music? Friends, you're invited to a wedding. Did you know that? Isn't that a great thing? Invited to a wedding. And at every wedding, there's music. Well, there's going to be a great wedding banquet in the sky. Could be that you've been invited, but you better have your garments on. You better dress the right way. What are those garments? Well, Jesus, you got to clothe yourself with the Spirit of the living God. The Bible tells you how to do that. And I like this song. This is a great old song. You're going to enjoy this. Is that wedding music that I hear? This is the Cathedrals. And that made Tex Mars, she said, a hater and a violator of Canada's new Hate Crimes Act. Well, obviously the police didn't do it. They didn't arrest me. I had a great time in Canada. Holly, the witch that I just mentioned, even called up. Peter Warren, of course, set it all up. She called right on the radio and tried to put me down. She said, Tex Mars, in your book, New Age Cults and Religions, you show hatred toward the witches and toward Freemasonry and toward... I said, no, I show love. I show love toward witches and
members of the Church of Satan and all of the various New Age cults and Hindu and Buddhist religions. I show love because I want every person involved in those groups to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and have the joy and contentment that only Jesus Christ can give a person. That's not hate. That's love. Because in the Bible, John said that God is love. That's the message I gave across Canada on that secular talk show as the witches and the masons and the evolutionists called to batter me over the air, but they didn't succeed. Why? Not because, my friends, I'm such a great debater. Oh, no. All I had to do was to deliver the simple message of the gospel. Now, in this message that you're going to be hearing, I'm going to be talking about that simplicity of the gospel that the Apostle Paul talked about. You see, there is no doubt that we're moving into a new world order, into the last days. I'm convinced that hard times are about to happen. The worst thing of all that is occurring is the pollution of God's Word, or perhaps I should say, the attempted pollution of God's Word, because God's Word is eternal. He said that He would preserve it, keep it, guard it, and He does. And that's why we have God's pure Word today, a Bible that you can believe in and trust, the Holy Bible, the King James Bible. Now, there are, however, false Bible versions. They are leading us, my friends, into an Antichrist New World Order, into a one-world religion, a mystery Babylon religion. And that's what this message is going to tell you about. Now, I have to warn you, the taping wasn't quite as good as I hoped it would be. The intro is a little rough. In fact, it just starts with me just suddenly just in the mid of the sentence, in the middle of a sentence. Well, I think there's a lot of information between that and the end. At the end, he sort of cuts it off abruptly, too. And I'm sure the man doing the taping was a Christian volunteer, and he was trying to do a good job. So a little bit at the beginning and a little bit at the end seems to be cut off of this tape, but there's a lot of information packed in. Documentation, evidence that you need to know and to tell your friends and loved ones. Warn them about these false Bible versions that are leading to the Antichrist New World Order. Now, would it surprise you to know that the NIV and the New American Standard and the Revised Standard Version and the Douay Rheims Bible of the Catholics and the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witnesses, would it surprise you to know that all of these came from the same source and originally from the devil's own pen? No, it should not at all, because the Bible in the book of Daniel warns us that the Antichrist will speak in dark sentences. Dark sentences. Oh, my friends, that is exactly what these false versions are. Dark sentences. You know, the makers and the promoters of the new Bible versions have fallen victim to the same lie that Satan told Eve in the garden. He said, "You can be like God." Well, so too, the makers of the new versions and their believers and promoters say that they too are like God. They speak for God. They are God. They correct God's word when it doesn't please them. They say they can do it better. They can make a Bible of their own understanding. They'll take out the things they don't like. One of the people who was on the actual committee that composed or put together the popular New International Version of the Bible now is an acknowledged lesbian homosexual, Dr. Virginia Mollenkott. No wonder words like sodomy and sodomizers are now left out of the Old Testament. Did Mollenkott have something to do with it? Possibly so. The NIV is an abomination, as are all of the other versions of the Bible. King James. Where did the King James Bible come from? My friends, first, the Bible was written by the prophets and the apostles. And then manuscripts were copied and sent around to the churches. The church of Antioch, where Paul was commissioned to go out to the other Gentiles. That's where the manuscripts came from that underlie the King James Bible. Now, where did the manuscripts come from that underline the other ones? From, believe it or not, Alexandria, Egypt. Supposedly the Christian church at Alexandria, Egypt is the source of the manuscripts which underlie the newer Bible versions. So you see, they come from different Greek manuscripts. Many people will lie to you and they'll say, well, no Bible translation is correct. Exactly. None are perfect. Not the new versions, not the King James, they'll claim. But the originals are correct. The originals were inspired. What a bunch of nonsense that is, my friends. That's double talk, double speak. Liars. Double-minded men and women would say such things. Because you can't go back to the originals. Because all of these evil so-called Bible scholars, egghead intellectuals teaching at seminaries, are using different manuscripts. They're using a Greek manuscript, for example, that came out of Alexandria, Egypt, even though God said, come out of Egypt. Even though it was in Alexandria where the Alexandrian heresies began, Gnosticism, New Age, that's right, New Age occult teachings, that Jesus was not truly God, that he didn't come in the flesh. That came out of Alexandria, Egypt. Origen was one of the early professors of this false Gnostic gospel. That's the Bible manuscript, so-called, the Greek manuscript that came out of Alexandria. You can find it in the NIV, the RSV, the ASV, and all the other false versions. Now they're coming like a flood, the Living Bible, etc., etc. So these are coming like a flood today, but friends, there is a real Bible. God said he'd totally preserve it, and he has. It's the King James Bible. The fingerprints of the great red dragon are all over the new versions. You'll see that in the talk I'm going to give now to you. But remember, where there are counterfeits, there must be a real, and there is a real. And so now, without further ado, we're going to start the tape for the message that I delivered in Winnipeg. May it be a blessing to you.
But today, I'm not going to talk to you about the New Age movement or the world conspiracy. I will a little bit later on in my talks. But I would like to propose to you that there is another plot. Another plot. In fact, it is the greatest and most wicked plot in the history of the world. You see, the devil has a most notorious and successful plot that's been going on for a long, long time. What am I talking about? Simply this. The plot and conspiracy against the very Word of God. Now, you can preach about many things, and it will very little harm the devil. But I'm telling you, friends, since God inspired the prophets and the apostles to write down the words that God gave, the devil has been in the field of battle attempting to pervert, undermine, and subvert the Word of God. And this is only normal. It is only the natural thing for Satan to do. Because if you can destroy and undermine and pollute the Word of God, the souls of men will follow in a great train and procession. You see, nothing compares, does it, with the Word of God? Do you know of anything? How were you saved if you are born again this morning? But by the Word of God. Now, some people would say, now wait. I believe in the living Jesus. Let's not emphasize the Word of God. Let's not exalt the Bible. We make of the Bible an idol if we exalt it. My friend, in John 1 we see that Jesus is the Word of God. In Philippians, we find that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. But, the scriptures also say that God magnifies his word above his name. Now imagine, friends, if you are to bow at the name of Jesus, and I'm telling you, even the devils tremble at that name. If we bow at the name of Jesus, imagine the power in the Word of God. Because God magnifies His Word above His name. And I propose to you that a man or a woman cannot love God and despise His Word. It is an impossibility. A man or woman cannot love His Word and detest God. Because there is no split between God and His Word. The Word is God, God is the Word, and both are exalted in the heavens and on earth and even below. And I'm here to tell you too, my friends, there will be no one in heaven who disrespects and dishonors the Word of God. No one. Oh, all of the New Age cult leaders testify of Jesus. You'd be surprised what good things they say about that Master Jesus. Of course, when you get down to the brass tacks, you will find that He is the same as Buddha and Lao Tse and Confucius and Muhammad. But oh, what great things they say about Jesus. And you know, there are even many false Bibles. One that I have, in fact, I have a whole library of false Bibles that I've researched. There's one called the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus the Christ. Oh, it's for the Aquarian age, you see. There's another that sounds so Christian and so wonderful. It's called A Course in Miracles. And they go on and on with false Bibles produced by the New Age, all of which testify to another Jesus and another gospel. Revelation 22 is the very finale of the whole Bible. It's amazing to me that in the beginning, in Genesis, God divided. Did you know that God is divisive? Did you know that? What I'm going to talk about this morning will be divisive. But God, in the very beginning, divided the light from the darkness. Oh, my friends, God is the great divider. He pulls out those who will be of the light and separates them from the darkness. Aren't you glad you're part of that great light that is Jesus Christ?
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.